story about Joseph. There's so many bits that you can get with it, so many different parts here. It's one of these stories that I love to read and look into. But David was in prison because he was accused of something that he'd never done. Now, I don't know if you've ever been accused of something that you've never done, but it's one of the horriblest things that can ever happen to you. You know, when somebody points a finger at you and says, you've done something wrong, and you never, and you try to stick up for yourself, but nobody believes you. It's a horrible feeling when somebody does that. You imagine how David felt. But he also stood by what he believed in. And he didn't want to offend God. And that is one of the reasons why he was in prison. But can you imagine what prisons were like in those days? These grim, vile conditions. Forced labour, hot, dirty, smelly, no rights, no trials. Prisoners were guilty until proven innocent. But still, we still heard how God blessed Joseph, grant him favour with the chief jailers. And he ended up in charge of the whole prison, running the whole prison. Absolutely fantastic how he came through the ranks in this dirty prison. But there's three different things I'd like to look at here tonight about this story, about the cupbearer and the baker. And one of them is a hopeless predicament. I'm sure we've all been in hopeless predicaments where we think we're never going to get out of it. The other one is perseverance. And the other one is a survival plan. How have we got a survival plan? Now these are three important lessons to learn out of these readings and these scriptures. There's many lessons we can learn out of this story. But I'd like to look at these three and try to go through them and understand them better. You know, there's an interesting story. I don't know if I've shared this before, but there was a TV newsreader, Jonathan Hill, and he was saying goodnight on primetime night TV to viewers. And at the end of his bulletin, as he was saying goodnight, a house fly flew straight into his mouth. The shock presenter was then in a dilemma. Like anyone else, his instinct was to spit the insect out. But he knew that would disgust the TV viewers at home. So with real professionalism, the 28-year-old swallowed hard and carried on as if nothing had happened. Afterwards, Mr. Hill told of his dilemma while reading the Wales News Tonight at the HTV studio in Cardiff. He said, I've faced some ordeals in front of the cameras, but nothing as bad as swallowing a fly. I just opened my mouth to say goodnight, and it just zipped in. I choked on my words, but I just couldn't spit it out on camera. It's a tea time show, and it might have made viewers ill. I had to be professional with so many people watching. There was only one choice. I had to grin and bear it. But the fly put up a good fight as it went down. I could feel it buzzing in my throat, and I almost choked. Sometimes I got myself a wee bit of dilemma coming here. Every road I took was blocked, and I was panicking. But we find ourselves in situations where, you know, we wonder what's going on, or we have to just put our face up, you know, we put our front up. Hopeless predicaments. Joseph here seemed to be in a a real hopeless predicament. A slave in prison, a foreign prison. At the most, people would just want to give up. But Joseph did his best. With each small task that was given to him, he persevered. His diligence and positive attitude were soon noticed. We read in verse 4 that it was Potiphar himself that assigned Joseph to look after the chief cupbearer and the baker, who were two important officials. They were really important. Our Christian lives can be put to the test with different dilemmas. Dilemmas that come up, that come along. Family worries, cash problems, deaths, job worries. And sometimes it's hard to see a way out. Sometimes we wonder, where is God in all of this? What's really going on? What's happening? But it's through these hard times that God can bring the best out of us, just like Joseph. You know, Joseph was given certain tasks when he was in prison. But he didn't grumble about it, or moan about it, or make a big fuss about it. He just quietly went about doing it. Verse 6 tells us, Joseph noticed the dejected look on the baker and the cupbearer's faces. Can you imagine these two officials who were high up in this great, lovely palace, who were serving the king, had everything at their feet, beck and call, and then, like that, they were lying in this dingy prison. You imagine what was going through their head. David says, why do you look so worried? Well, although Joseph had been treated unfairly, which he was, he still had compassion for other people. And he had the same compassion that Jesus had. That compassion that Jesus had for people was also in Joseph. Although he had been through all this horrible stuff, he had been a slave, he had been thrown into a pit with his brothers. You know the story? Absolutely atrocious, accused of things he had never done. Absolutely atrocious. But he saw these cupbearers and he had compassion on them. What's the matter with these guys? What's up? Same as Jesus, love and compassion. And Jesus has, he calls on us to have the same love and compassion as Joseph. To love the lost. To love the needy. To be able to put a hand out when someone is in distress. Jesus had this compassion and Joseph had this compassion. Nothing is hopeless, absolutely nothing, with Jesus. You know, sometimes we can't see a way out of things. But Jesus' promise is that no matter what, he would be there with us. He can see us through. There is no hopelessness with Jesus. The other thing I would like to look at here is perseverance. Now that's a word that you didn't really hear a lot in the church. Perseverance. To persevere. No matter what comes along, what happens, what troubles and trials. We sing about all these great songs. But when they come along, what do? Do we fade away? Do we struggle? Why can't I do that anymore? I'm sick of this. I'm struggling with this Christianity. I'm struggling with my faith. Or do we do what Joseph does? Do we persevere? Do we hold on a minute? I've got the God of the universe on my side. Perseverance. In the Collins Dictionary, it means constancy, consistency, dedication, determination, purposefulness, stamina, and steadfastness. Have we got perseverance? Can we persevere? Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen next week? Who knows what's going to happen within the next couple of days? Who knows what's going to happen a couple of years up the road? But have we got the backbone to persevere? Steadfastness. Joseph had all these things. When everything seemed to be falling apart all around him, Joseph kept on going. And he always gave God the credit. Always. He was a real humble character, Joseph. Even telling Pharaoh in chapter 41, verse 16, God will tell you what your dreams mean. He didn't say, I'll tell you, or I'm a prophet, or I'm this or that. He says, God will tell you what your dreams mean. Didn't he point to himself? He said the same in chapter 40, verse 8, telling the cupbearer and the baker, interpreting their dream. This is God's business. No, my business to interpret, or his business, it's God's business. Again, Joseph's perseverance pays off. He runs the whole prison. He's well respected. He's put in charge to look after these high officials. Top notches, two top notch guys have been put in the prison. He's put in charge of them to look after them. Even telling them what their dreams mean. One was to be restored, and one was to have a real nasty death, impaled on a pole. Chapter 40, verse 19. And everything Joseph said came true. The baker died, and the cupbearer was restored into the king's palace. And then we read at the end of chapter 40, verse 23, we read, the cupbearer promptly forgot about Joseph, never giving him another thought. Shocking, eh? Can you imagine that? He helped these guys out. They've landed in prison. He's had compassion on them. He's been up to them. And he's been, listen, I can help you guys. I've got a God in heaven. I'm a Hebrew who will interpretate your dreams. He gets the dreams interpreted. He looks after them. Tells them the truth. One dies and then one is restored. And then nothing. I wonder how Joseph felt. I wonder that time when he was lying in that dingy prison, if he was thinking every day when he was going back to his cell or going back to his bed or going about his business and going, I wonder if these guys will remember about me today. I wonder if they'll mention something to the king. I've been in here a long, long time. And never once did he curse God, never once did he blame God. He just went about his business. That must have been desperate times for Joseph. Hoping for this man to remember him. Just to have a word in Pharaoh's ear. To try and pull some strings. It'll happen this week, but nothing. Then we read chapter 41, the very first verse. That 2 years had passed. 2 years. And a long time. Then Pharaoh had a dream. He had a dream and he fell asleep and he had another dream. Verse 8 tells us the next morning he thought about the dreams. He came very, very concerned as what the dreams might mean. Pharaoh started to have dreams. And they were beginning to give him a wee bit of a shake. Startle him. He wondered what was going on. This was the king of Egypt. And then he summoned all the magicians. He goes, and what I'll do, I'll get all the magicians, all the wise men of Egypt, and they'll be able to tell me about the dreams they'll be able to share with and tell me what's going on. But not one of them could suggest what they mean. None of them could tell them. All these talented guys, none of them could tell them what the dreamt meant. Then we read again, escape eventually comes further on in this reading to Joseph in the most dramatic way. He's able to tell Pharaoh what the dreams mean. His perseverance is paying off. And not only does he interpret the dreams, he goes on to tell Pharaoh exactly what should be done. You remember the story of Joseph? He starts organizing his land. He starts organizing it. He starts telling him, well, this is what we need to do. You need to store up grain. You need to put so much away because there's a famine going to come. And he organizes the whole Egypt. He persevered. He came through to the end. Joseph was a perseverer. And that brings me on to the third and final thing here. A survival plan. If I was to say we are here tonight, have we got a survival plan? What do you mean by that? Well, what is a survival plan? A survival plan as a Christian is, are you prepared? Are you prepared for what's to come? Or do you just plod along as if nothing's happening? If I was to be honest with you, you've probably seen that tonight, I'm not the greatest planner. Sometimes, you know, I just go with the flow. And that's not really a good thing. I'm not really good at planning things. I just go with the flow. And most of the time I can get away with it. But always now and again, I always get caught out. And it's always, if you like Mal, Mal's different. Me and Mal's like chalk and cheese. Mal's organised. I'm unorganised. But I envy that with Mal because it's a good thing. The Bible tells us to be organised, to have a plan. To sit down and plan things out properly. That's what Joseph done. Joseph gave Pharaoh a survival plan. He says, Pharaoh, if you're going to survive the famine that's coming along, if you're going to survive things, then you need a plan. You need a survival plan to survive. For 14 years. And he ended up ruler over all Egypt. Verse 42 tells us, Pharaoh put him in and gave him his own signet ring. And he put it on Joseph's finger as a symbol of his authority. You can imagine that. Pharaoh took off his own ring, personal signet ring, and put it on Joseph's finger. We're talking about a laddie that was kidnapped at 17 years old, thrown into a pit, taken away as a slave, put in prison, been accused of something that he never done. He spent years in prison, and now he's ended up the second in command of Egypt. And not one in the scripture does Joseph take credit for it. He gives all the credit to God. Is that not amazing? And the ring on his finger is a symbol of his authority. And only I will have rank higher than yourself. That is Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the only one above him that's got higher rank in him. He's the second in command. His planning brings stability to Egypt. He plans. He does great things. He keeps it steady. He keeps the land steady. People travel for far and near to get grain for Egypt because he is planning. But what's our living plans? Do we have plans? What's our commitments? Do we have a commitment to prayer? Do we have commitment to Bible study? And listen, another thing here as well is Joseph was a dreamer. But there's nothing wrong with that. He wasn't a Walter Mitty type dreamer, but he was a dreamer. He had visions. He wanted to do things. He wanted to succeed at things. Do you have dreams? Do we have dreams? Do we have plans? How do we please God? How do we further His kingdom? Are we willing to change and make changes in our lives? Things that shake us up, things that maybe even shake us to the boots. Are we willing to do that? Joseph was about 30 years old when he became second in command in Egypt. And as I say, he was only 17 when he was sold into slavery by his brothers. He spent 13 years as an Egyptian slave and in prison. And no matter what came along, his whole purpose and plan, even as a young lad, was to serve and honour God. And most important of all, keeping in God's plan. Not being tempted. Temptation's always going to be there to take us off that small road by what the world's got to offer us, but being obedient to God. And people he came in contact with recognised the Spirit of God within them. They recognised there was something different about this laddie. They recognised, I don't know now, there's something different about this laddie. Can we say that as Christians? When we go into our workplace, when we go and meet friends, when we go and talk to people, do we share our love with Jesus? Is people able to say to us, there's something different about them? There's something that I want. There's something different about him. Can people say that about us? Joseph was a planner. He worked things out. He knew when everybody else let him down, his brothers, Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, the cupbearers, and all the unjust that was done to him. He didn't become bitter. He didn't sit in that jail going, see them, I'll get all them back. I'll sort all them out. The way they've treated me. I'm put in prison, I've never done anything. I was a slave, I've never done anything. My brother threw me into that pit. I'll sort them out. That wasn't his attitude. He forgave. And he kept his eyes fixed on the Lord. There was no bitterness or resentment or anything in him. Joseph wasn't like that. He had that trait of Jesus. Didn't become resentful or seek vengeance. And most of all, he didn't feel sorry for himself. We can be like that, eh? Feel sorry for ourselves. A bit unjust. And it can be understandable, but Joseph didn't do that. He just got up and got on with things. When all these things came along, Joseph had a plan. And you know what his plan was? His plan was to keep his eyes fixed on the Lord. No matter what came along, what stumbled him, what hurt him. And he had every excuse. You could justly say, well, what happened to him? And say, well, you couldn't really blame him for what he, you know, he's glad he's been through a lot. I mean, look what's happened to him. He's entitled to be a wee bit angry and get, you know. Joseph. Joseph, listen, I know what's happening, but there's one thing I can assure you, I'm keeping my eyes fixed on the Lord. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. Things will happen in our life. Things will come along. The enemy will even use Christians against us. But the Bible says, listen, keep your eyes fixed on me. Don't take your eyes off me. And that's what David done. Keep your eyes fixed on God. And we should take a leaf out of Joseph's book. There's a verse in verse 37 tells us that the people from surrounding lands also came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was so severe throughout the world, the known world then. There was not a bite. There was not a lick of food anywhere. People were coming from everywhere to Egypt to buy grain so that they could make bread and feed their families. Can you imagine the Exodus and them all coming? But who knows what the future holds for us? Hey, we're comfortable. Everything's going well, but we don't know what's around the corner. But God knows. We don't know the future, but God knows. I am the Alpha and the Omega. We don't know how being a Christian could affect our lives. A few years up the road, new laws could come out. How do we know? It could come into effect, could affect our worship, our preaching, even reading the Bible. We don't know. There's that many new laws, different things happening around the world, happening fast. We just don't know. Matthew 8, verse 20, Jesus tells us, foxes have dens to live in, and the birds have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have no home of my own. Not even a place to rest my head. Now, Joseph was a wee bit like that as well. He was always getting shook into pillar to post. And through Jesus' ministry, it was the same. He was scorned. People didn't like him. It was a love-hate relationship. Because he spoke the truth and he challenged people. He shook them to their boots. Joseph is one of my favourite patriots of the Bible. It's a great story because his patriotism, his love for the Lord, his loyalty, his obedience, his perseverance, and his compassion. He had real compassion on people. And you know the most important thing that comes out of this story later on as we go through it, when his brothers came along to Egypt, if you know the story, is the forgiveness. The forgiveness that Joseph had. And as Christians, we need to learn to forgive. And I'm not talking about saying, I forgive, but I'll not forget. I'm talking about truly forgiving and forgetting. And sometimes that can be hard. And that's what we've got to do. To forgive, you must forget. Joseph never casted up anything to anybody. He just forgave and moved on. He had real, real traits in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just finish off with this. Following Jesus is not always easy. Or comfortable. It means great cost and sacrifice. Joseph experienced this. And he experienced it on many occasions. Jesus didn't have a place to call home. You may find that following Jesus costs you popularity, friendships, leisure time, or treasured habits. But while the cost of following Christ is high, the value of being Christ's disciple is even higher. Discipleship is an investment that lasts for eternity. and brings incredible rewards. And as we read on to this great story of Joseph, let's remember that if anything else, there's one thing we do have, the same as Joseph. We have a great Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great story of Joseph, Lord. And we thank you that you are a great Redeemer, Lord. Father, we just pray again tonight that you would just help us just to have a touch of the spirit that Joseph had, Father, for loyalty, perseverance, obedience. And Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed on you, fatherly Lord. And Lord, again, we just pray for each person here tonight that you would just bless them in a real powerful way. And Lord, we pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's precious name and for his sake. Amen.